If you would stand to your feet, we're going to be going to the Word of God. Sister Amanda giving me some eyes already. I'm going to have to tell the ushers they got to keep their eyes on Sister Amanda this morning. This morning, as all week, I was trying to figure out, trying to follow the will of God on what to preach this morning. And by Wednesday or Thursday, it was just burning up in the inside of me what it was that God wanted me to speak. So I want you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to the Old Testament, book of Joshua chapter 2. And we thank all our guests for being with us this morning. If you're looking for a home church, does anybody know where they can find a good church in the city of Rain?
Amen. Right.
Now, my pastor used to always say this: the first time you come, you're a guest. The second time, you're family. So if this is your second time, you're family. You're family. Amen. If you have it, say amen. Book of Joshua chapter 2 verse 1 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." So he's telling them to go into a city, go into a place that's not even part of your culture. That's not even who you are, but he's saying, go into that place. Verse 2, it says, "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." So in other words, somebody went snitched to the king and said, "Hey, they had some people came in here last night, and they talking about coming in and taking over." I want you to drop down to verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shewed you kindness," this is Rahab talking to the spies, "that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token." Verse 13, "And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." Verse 15 says, "Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall." Now I want to drop down a little bit further to verse 18, and it says, "Behold, when we come into the land," this is the spies talking to Rahab. He says, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all of thy father's household home unto thee." Verse 19 says, "And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." So in other words, the spies, so Rahab said, "Okay, I'm going to hide y'all out because they want to kill y'all." She said, "So I'm hiding y'all out, but when y'all come back to take over this land, you got to make sure that I'm saved too." And so then they tell her, "By the means that you save us, it's going to be the same means that you and your family is going to be saved." And so I want to preach to you for a little while by the help and grace of the Lord on this topic: keep your red rope outside your window. I'm going to say that again. Keep your red rope outside of your window. Give your neighbor a high five as you're seated in this place and tell him, keep your rope outside your window. What we understand here is that the Lord gave word to Joshua, who we understand in layman's terms of today that he was their pastor. So in other words, Joshua was the pastor of the children of Israel. And so God gave the pastor a word for the congregation concerning what was to come. He gave him the word that the enemy's subscription to their lives had just been canceled. It was now time for the people of God to stand up and be victorious. And the church said, amen. And so God told Joshua that now is the time for my people to be blessed. They've been faithful in the little things. Now it is time to bless them in the big things. We talked about it last Sunday. You heard testimonies of what God is already doing in the lives of his people. And I'm telling you, just like Joshua told them back then, I want to tell you again that our best is still yet to come, that you ain't seen yet what God has done in this house. And so, and even the ones that, you know, I've been faithful in the small things, I'm telling you, you better get ready. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, get ready, get ready. God is about to do some things in your life. You got to remain faithful. And so, now all that sounded good, it sounded fine and dandy, you know. Joshua tell them, listen, I want you to go into the land and I want you to spy out the land and see what is in there that's going to hinder our blessings. And so, but the only thing that was, the only problem that was there was that there was a big wall that was around the city of Jericho. And so it was already promised to them, but there was something there that was blocking it. But even still, Joshua told the two spies, I want you to go in and I want you to spy it out. And so this is not in my notes, but I want to go ahead and tell you this, that sometimes that God is going to give the God in your life a word, and even though you might look at it and it might seem like it's big and it might seem like a wall is around it, God is trying to test your faith, and God is trying to see if you're going to still be obedient even when you don't know what's on the other side of the wall. Now, I don't know if you caught that, but your promise is already there. You've just got to be bold enough to go and get it, even in spite of how it might look like. So when the spies get to the land of Jericho and they get to the house of a known harlot named Rahab, and for those of you who don't understand the King James Version linguistics, that means Rahab was a woman of the night. Or if we go a little bit further, she was a prostitute. Read it. It's in my Bible. It's in your Bible. It don't matter what version of the Bible you read. We all reading the same one. And so this is where they find themselves, at the house of an harlot. And so I don't believe that they just went on in there by themselves. I believe that God led them there. You ever wonder why sometimes God leads you to some questionable characters? Or you wonder why you run across some people that you clutch in your wallet or you clutch in your purse as you pass by them? Listen, instead of trying to clutch everything, maybe you ought to start releasing some things on them. Y'all didn't come to preach with me this morning. And so, but you know, anytime that God starts doing something spectacular, everything around you that can be shaken, it will be shaken. And so before Rahab had a chance to really understand everything that was going on, she was brought before the king. And so the king wanted to know, well, Rahab, where's those two men at? Because the king already knew that they were a threat to his kingdom. And so doesn't that sound just like the devil when he starts messing with us? He knows that we are a threat to his kingdom. That's why he seeks us out to kill, to steal, and to destroy us. But as Rahab stood before the king, in my mind, there was one thing that she couldn't help think back. I don't know. She might have said, I don't know who those people are, but I know who they belong to, and I've heard the things that their God has done for them. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this morning that there's going to be some times that people may not know you, they may not know your family, but they've got to respect the God that's on the inside of you. And so she tells the king, well, they gone, they left already. and she didn't have anything to do with them. But what she had already peeped out, you know how we use that terminology, she peeped it out. It means when she had checked it out already. She had peeped it out, the fact that their time was up. So even, listen, you got to understand this. The devil even knows when his time is up. There's going to come a time when the devil has even got to be subject to the power of Christ that's on the inside of you. But you got to understand that I've got to remain faithful even in the off season, because in due season God promised that I will reap if I faint not. And so Rahab understood that these two men were sent by God, and she hid them until it was safe to them, and bring them out and talk to them. And so Rahab in verse 10 begins to tell them how she heard, how the people of Jericho had already heard how the Lord had dried up the water of the Red Sea, and when they came out of Egypt, and all the things that he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, and Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. Even the devil knows the things that God has already done in your life. So I don't care what the devil tries to tell you about what the promises of God might not be for you. The devil has already seen what God has done, and he knows what God has done, and he even understands what God is going to do. But it comes down to the fact that you've got to remain faithful even when you don't understand it all. And so Rahab wasn't no fool, Brother Robinson. In my research on Rahab, even though she was a woman of the night, Rahab was a businesswoman. So Rahab said, listen, if I'm going to go through all this trouble to hide you out and to keep you safe, listen, I'll wash your back and you're going to wash mine too. And so Rahab begins to tell them, said, you need to give me a token and make this covenant with me that you won't only save me, but you're going to save my family also. They told her, Rahab, we got you. We got you. Even before talking to God about it, they told her, God's going to protect you. Now, let me go ahead and say this, that when you have a relationship with God like you ought to, not like you claim, I'm going to say that again to the left side of the church. When you have a relationship with God like you should, not like you claim, and you are submitted to God like you should, not like you claim, you can be like those two spies, and you can speak a word unto somebody, and you can stand on the word of God that it will come to pass. Because see, God has got to honor what you say based on your level of submission and consecration to him. That's why sometimes when preachers, you see preachers speak a word and you see it come to pass, and sometimes you be like, man, did you pray about that? But it comes to pass because the preacher is not dependent on him. It's the God that's on the inside of him that's given him the authority to speak, amen? And so some of us are afraid to speak a word on behalf of the Lord because we know that the Lord don't even know us like we claim we know him. Y'all don't get quiet on me in here. You can't operate in something that you have no authority in. I'm going to say that one more again. You can't operate in something that you have no authority to operate in. Amen? And so, as night begins to fall, Rahab opened a window. After she told them, I want a token from you. You got to tell me something. You've got to make a covenant with me that when God comes and destroys everything in this place, that God spares me and only, and not just me, but also my family. And so the Bible tells us that Rahab opened a window to let the spies return back to their home. The Bible says that she let down a red cord. It wasn't supposed to fall. So she let down this cord. The devil in the cord now. But she let down this cord, okay? And the Bible tells us that before they left, she wanted to make sure that they understood that we may covenant with each other. And so they told her that the same rope that you use to save us is going to be the same rope that's going to be used to save you and your family. And so Rahab, and I'm going to go ahead and say it like the Bible said, the harlot was specifically mentioned that she should be saved. And so we understand that in Joshua chapter 6 that God sent his people to destroy the city, but it was the scarlet red robe, that rope that was hanging outside of the window that saved. Whenever everything around Rahab began to fall, when the walls began to fall and the neighbor's house on this side fell and the neighbor's house on that side fell, and when the town square walls began to fall, the only thing that stood was the house that had the red rope hanging out the window. And so it was the scarlet red robe hanging outside of that window that saved her. Now, I don't know if this makes a lot of sense to you or if you have paralleled the two stories, but doesn't the story of Rahab sound something like the Lord did for us? He sent us a pastor to tell us that the victory is coming. But in order to get the victory, you've got to keep the red rope hanging outside the window of your life. See, Rahab was a woman of the night and a person that most people would look down on. She was the kind of person that mothers tell their daughters not to be like. She was the kind of person that fathers told their sons to stay away from. But what you don't understand is that even while she was bogged down in the middle of her sins, and even when she was doing her own thing, she had a revelation that I can't mess with the people of God. I've still got to respect the people of God. When was the last time somebody looked at you and wanted to do something evil to you, but they had to respect the God that was on the inside of you? See, she understood that I need the people of God in my life because that's what's going to save me. And so when we get to that revelation, we won't treat a brother that doesn't quite look like us differently. We're not going to treat our brother that don't quite look like us differently. Just because I got that good, you know, Egyptian curls in my hair. Thank you for the red box S curl. Just because his hair is silkier than mine, that don't mean that I got to look down upon him because he don't quite look like me. Because if you understand that there's going to come a day that God said, I'm coming back for my people. He didn't say, I'm coming back for the blacks. I'm not coming back for the whites. He didn't say, I'm coming back. He said, I'm coming back for my people that has made themselves ready. Now, y'all don't start getting mad at me in here because, listen, if you don't like a multicultural church, this is not the place for you. I like my church. Let me back up. I'm not going to say my church because it's God's church. I like our church to look like what heaven's going to look like. See, when we get the revelation, we won't give that sister who decided to go all natural that side eye. I got the sisters tapped in with me now, Brother Robinson. We're not going to give each other that side look talking about, girl, you know she need to do something with that. Oh, y'all don't play. Y'all know how it go down. Can't wait to leave from church. Get on the phone. Girl, did you see what Sister So-and-so did with her hair? When you get the revelation, you won't treat the children who are of a different nationality different. Why? Because we understand that if God can take a harlot and a woman of the night and add her to the royal lineage of Jesus Christ, then he can use anybody, no matter what the color of their skin is, no matter the texture of their hair, nor the uniqueness of their culture. God can use anybody. Turn to your neighbor and say, God can use you. You just got to be willing. Y'all ain't talking to this morning. Tell somebody else that you know gonna talk back to you that God can use you if you want to be used by him, you got to want it. I feel my help coming from back here somewhere. You gotta want it. See, I talked about this last Sunday. It's one thing for you to smell the cooking, but it's another thing for you to want the cooking. It's one thing for you to want to go to the grocery store, but it's another thing to go to the grocery store. And the same thing with God is one thing to want a relationship with God, and it's another thing to have a relationship with God. See, you got to stop looking at people that don't look quite like you. And you got to understand, listen, I'm telling you, one, if there's anybody that is on this earth that should not be racist, it ought to be the people of God. Y'all don't start throwing shoes and all kind of other stuff at me. If you profess to be a child of God like you claim you are, I'm telling you, there shouldn't be a racist bone in your body, because, again, I said that God said, I'm coming back for my people, the ones who made themselves ready. I'm not coming back just for the sanctuary of worship. I'm not coming back for First Baptist, First Episcopal. He said, I'm coming back for my people. And so in every last one of these churches, there's some different kind of people. Jesus loves everybody. That's why that little Sunday school song said, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. So that means that God has already qualified everybody on this world and everybody on this earth to have a red rope hanging from their window. See, if you're rich, you still qualify for a red rope. And if you're poor, you still qualify for a red rope. If you're black, if you're white, if you're Indian, if you're Hispanic, if you're Asian, you qualify for a red rope to be hanging from your window. Now, you got to understand this. You got to understand this. Let me point this out. God just gave this to me. You got to understand that the spies didn't go looking for the red rope. Rahab had to use what she already had in order for God to give them what he had. Oh, y'all missed that one. Y'all missed that one. You're going to have to buy the tape to listen to it all over again. But you've got to understand that the things of God is always going to take priority. And grab a hold onto the rope that God has given us when he died on the cross. That red rope saved Rahab, but the red blood of Jesus Christ saved us. See, you can't tell me that God is a respecter of person, because that same woman of the night became the great-grandmother of our light and our salvation. You do the research on it. She was a nobody. She was no good. I'm sure the townspeople all got together and talked about her. But our Savior, our Lord and Savior, came through that lineage. I wish I had time to really break that up, that all down for you. But that red rope is what saved Rahab, but the blood that came later on, that's painted on our hearts, that stained on our lives, is what saved us today. So I want to tell you this. Don't discredit someone who may not have it all together yet. All you've got to start doing is speaking a word, and you got to watch God do the rest. I'm going to say that again. You just got to speak the word, and you got to watch God do the rest. Because God allowed his red blood to save us. And I want you to understand that it's his red blood that's going to lead us home. I want you to remember that when the world starts to come at you sideways and the devil is whispering sweet nothings in your ear, telling you that all you need is to bow down and worship him, you got to, and the devil is telling you to deny your relationship with Christ and to serve him. But can I recall to your mind how the devil has left you time and time again? How he left you broke, busted, disgusted, and he can't be trusted? He gave you empty promises, and he backed it up by false pretenses. And when you remember how many times the devil has left you for dead, and how he went to God and recommended that you have the death penalty, that's when God stepped up
and God stepped down. He stepped down with fire in his eyes and a judgment on his lips. He believed everything. He believed everything. Now listen to this. God believed everything that the devil told him, and he had to agree. The devil probably went to God and said, you know, he ain't no good. God probably had to say, you're right. Devil said, God, he doing his own thing. God said, you're right. God, he not walking. He not living in holiness. God probably said that you are right. And so God gets up and he has to go by the bylaws of heaven. But what the devil didn't understand is that even though he had left you to die all by yourself and he ran to go tattletale on you to God. See, the devil even had the undertaker on the way to come and get you. But what he wasn't counting on is the fact that you had been blood bought and you had been blood sought. The devil didn't realize that while you were down, getting ready to die, getting ready to serve your life sentence, that you called out to God right from where you were. The devil was expecting you to die right there where you were. The devil was expecting you to die in a life of sin. The devil was expecting you to die right there where he left you. But the devil didn't realize is that while you were down there getting ready to die, getting ready to serve your life sentence, that you called out to God, and God had already done told you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The devil didn't know that you had repented of your sins and was baptized in his cleansing blood. And so now the devil, you know, he kind of rubbing his hands and he's watching as God has gotten up from his heavenly throne. And he's watching how God is coming towards you and God has fire in his eyes and he got his judgment on his lip. But what he didn't know is that God said, I'm not coming to kill, but I'm coming to revive. I'm not coming to steal, I'm coming to restore. I'm not coming to destroy, but I'm coming to renew. When the devil wasn't planning on sin, was that you had the blood, the red that had been applied to the window of your life. Somebody give God a hand of praise in this place. See, that red signified that you were saved, sanctified, and filled with the Spirit of God. So even though you deserve to die in your sins, and even though you was guilty of every accusation that the devil made of you before God, mercy stepped in and mercy screamed no, because the red rope was hanging outside the window of my life. You've got to keep the red rope hanging on the outside of your window. See, when the pain is flooding in, and when the world is telling you it's us four and no more, when the devil is trying to tell you that God has forgotten about you, when your family turns away from you, when the world is against you, when your friends forsake you, when the winds of life are raging and blowing against you, you've got to keep that red rope hanging outside your window, because it's the red rope that reminds God that you are not your own, that you have been bought with a price. Because see, that rope represents freedom and everlasting life. That rope represents safety even in the presence of turmoil. That rope represents the covering that is placed on you. You've got to keep the red rope hanging outside your window. Because when the devil comes and the devil begins to accuse you, the devil begins to tell you that you never gonna be nothing. The devil begins to tell you that I'm going to plague your life with the spirit of depression. The devil begins to tell you that your family is never gonna be saved. The devil begins to tell you that you're never gonna be good enough. You've got to keep the rope hanging outside your window, Because the devil don't understand the power that comes with the red. The devil don't understand the authority that God gives you when even though you don't have it all together, and even when it seems like everything around you is starting to crumble, if you read it in Joshua, that even as the walls begin to fall in chapter 6, that there was something about when the man of God spoke a word to them, that she understood that if I just keep this red rope hanging on the outside of my window, when everything begins to crumble around me and I'm seeing neighbors dying, and I'm seeing the people across the street dying, and I'm seeing the walls falling over here, and I see the walls falling on this side, the red rope is what's going to sustain you. Even in the presence of turmoil all around you. So I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, as I bring this service to a close, I want you to understand that the devil can't touch you as long as that red rope is hanging outside your window. You got to understand this, that the spies, the men of God, they didn't go back and tell Rahab, hey, put it outside your window. They had already given her instructions and told her, you got to keep this red rope outside your window, because when the power of God comes and God gives us the authority to tear this place up, the only thing that's going to last is the thing that the blood has been applied to. And so I'm telling you this morning, brothers and sisters, I don't know who this message is for this morning, but I want you to know that God is telling you this morning, I'm giving it to you straight from the throne room of God, that if you would keep this red rope hanging outside your window, the enemy can't even touch you. It don't matter how, the Bible says that no weapon formed is going to prosper, but the weapons going to form. Those weapons will form. But when you got the red rope hanging outside your window, they won't prosper. Because I'm sure, see, what the Bible doesn't say is that when the walls of Jericho begin to fall, we don't know where all the soldiers of the city were. Because there was war all around them. War going on. And I want you to understand that even in the spiritual realm, there's war going on. If God was ever to open our eyes, even right now, to see the spiritual warfare that's going on around us, I think it would blow our minds. But as long as you keep that red rope hanging, When God was getting ready to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, the man of God spoke to them and told them, apply the red to the outside of your doorpost. And everything on the inside is going to be saved. But the choice is still yours. If you decide that I'm going to leave out because I don't understand, I'm tired of waiting, God. I'm tired of waiting on you. I'm going to step outside of the covering. The spies told them that if you don't stay in the house, that your blood is on your own hands. Moses told them that if you leave from out the covering of the blood, then your blood is on your own hands. So I speak to you this morning, sanctuary of worship, from the mouth of God. You've got to keep the rope hanging outside your window. The devil may not understand it. Your family might not understand it. Your husband or your wife may not be able to understand it. But once you get the revelation that I've got to keep the red rope hanging outside my window, there is so much that God wants to do in your life. There's so much that he wants to do. But you've got to keep the red rope hanging from the outside of the window. Sometimes we, in life, sometimes we
we say, okay, God, I understand that you want red, but I think the blue looks a little bit better. When you find your own, like with Jonah, when you find your own ship, you pay your own fare. You got to find your own way. But when you understand that the red signifies that God has not forgotten about you, when the walls begin to fall, the Bible specifically says that you need to save Rahab, the harlot. So that tells me that it does not matter what you were. And it does not matter what the enemy is trying to tell you that you are. As long as you keep the red rope hanging outside your window, God will not forget his promises to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed,